Hi, and Happy New Year. This is Alonzo Bowden, and I want to welcome you to episode 165 of my podcast, Who's Paying Attention? Yes, it is a new year. There have been a couple of weeks with no podcast. There was a switch made. I am now with the All Things Comedy Network. I want to thank them for picking me up. My previous network went out of business. So here we are. It's 2017. Well, first of all, let me apologize for the soundtrack of Leaf Blowers. It's the holiday. I figured the gardeners around the building would take the day off, but apparently leaves don't take a rest. So sorry about that noise. But anyway, it's 2017. It's a new year. Now, we all know 2016 was an ass-kicking year for deaths. We lost everyone from Prince to Muhammad Ali to Carrie Fisher to George Michael, to Abe Vigoda, the list goes on and on. And yet, somehow Dick Cheney's still alive. I can't explain it. Evil outlasts all. That's all I can tell you. So goodbye, 2016. It was a bad year. I'm sure there was some good. I just can't think of it. And judging by the year-end reviews and best ofs and blah, 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 that nobody really found the good in 2016 other than it leaving. We're hoping 2017 is better. It's going to be difficult. Okay. My challenge as a comic for 2017 is not make it all about Donald Trump. And that ain't going to be easy because he's in the news every day. He started the new year with the same old bullshit. If you haven't heard, his New Year's tweet was, and by the way, this president will communicate via Twitter. It's going to be unbelievable and ridiculous that all our presidential information comes from Twitter. But what the hell? That's what it's going to be. So for New Year's, he tweeted, "Happy New Year to all, including my many enemies and those who have fought me and lost so badly they don't know what to do. Love." So he starts out the new year basically with the tweet that is the type of apology that a fourth grader gives when his teacher catches him being a bully. This is what bullies do. I don't want to go into it. You know, I don't want to go into how ridiculous it is. I don't want to go into how embarrassing it is on the world stage and blah, 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 blah. This is who he is. This is who he is. This is who our country elected, and this is what's going to represent us for the next 4 years. So people have already said, get used to it. I don't want to. I don't want to get used to it. I don't want to accept it, but it is what it is. And again, it is such an incredible reversal from 8 years ago when Barack Obama got elected. I will say this, that quite often what I'm saying is exactly what Republicans said when Barack Obama got elected. You know, on my Facebook feed, some guy who I knew, I don't know him now, but I knew him. We used to work together 30 years ago at Lockheed, and I didn't know who he was back then. But, you know, like Chris Rock said, there's a beautiful new tool for finding out your racist friends. It's called Facebook. So he tweeted something about it. You know, I tweeted about it. It's instead of hope, I'm going into the year with I hope we survive or whatever. And he said, this is the end of the 8-year mistake called Obama. To call Barack Obama's presidency an 8-year mistake, I don't understand. I'm sure this man's life is better as a result of Barack Obama, whether it be through health care or who knows what. I'm not going to get into that argument. But my point being that when Barack Obama was elected, all of these white people said that it was the worst thing that ever happened, and they hope they survive. I hope they survive, too. I hope they survive the incredible increase in the Dow Jones or drop in unemployment or whatever else happened under Obama's terrible presidency. But anyway, now, and he was going to come take their guns. And I do know this guy. This is one of those guys who built a safe room in his house and has a bunch of guns. And, you know, no one's taken the guns and no one's attacked. That part is really funny to me. Good for the gun dealers who made a ton of money selling fear, because fear sells big. So anyway, I understand that now progressive liberals, Democrats, black people, minorities, immigrants, and so on, all sound like white Republican men did 8 years ago, where is this the end of the world, worst president ever, blah, blah, blah. We'll see. We'll see how it plays out. Am I giving Donald Trump the benefit of the doubt? No, I'm not. I'll be perfectly honest. No, I'm not. Why? Because he's done nothing to show that, you know, they say, well, he says what he means. He speaks his mind. And he does, exactly. And he's done nothing to show any diplomacy or maturity or understanding of the gravitas of being the president of the United States and leader of the free world. Nothing. So he still thinks he's hosting a reality show. And maybe he is. But, yeah, I'm not on board. Okay, now that being said, here we are. It's 2017. It's 3 weeks to the inauguration. I call the election the day of the incident. I don't know what I'm going to call the inauguration, but I'm sure Ted Nugent will have a great name for it when he's down there jamming. Good gosh. Inauguration. We went from Aretha Franklin singing to Ted Nugent. America sure had changed. Barack Obama sent the Russian spies back on the quote diplomats. They had a big house on Long Island in New York. They have another house in the Bronx on the top of a hill where their radio antennas can pick up everything, blah, blah, blah. So he sent them home. Too late, too little, too late. I can only imagine what would have happened if he had sent them home the weekend before the election. If there had been the news had announced that the Russians have had hacked into the DNC, the Russians were trying to influence our elections and were sending home 35 Russian spies. I don't know what would have happened. I don't know if they would have just said that this is another Obama conspiracy, or if people would have said the outrage that we should have, that the Russians affecting our election would have caused millions and millions more people to vote, whether they voted either way, Republican, Democrat, either way. Would it have made a difference? I don't like being involved in what if, and I'm going to try not to go down that road because the road is unending. But I can't help but believe that there would have been a huge difference just knowing the Russians were coming. The Russians affected our election. Okay, that's too little, too late. I love Barack Obama. I salute his presidency on so many levels, whether it be the dignity that he brought to the White House, whether it be, like I said, the change in the economy, the dropping of unemployment, and people who say he created service-level jobs, really? Well, that's all America's created since the 80s. I don't know if you guys realized it, but manufacturing left a long time ago. And before you blame Bill Clinton, let's look at the destruction of unions under Ronald Reagan. Let's look at Wall Street back in those days and so on and so forth. So again, old arguments, no sense rehashing them. Economy's up, Dow Jones through the roof. Dow Jones has been through, if that's the measure of our economy, there's been a huge recovery under Barack Obama. And no scandals in the White House. Class, Michelle Obama, the epitome of class and style as a first lady, and so on. And I'm not knocking Melania Trump. Melania Trump is who she is. She hadn't planned on being first lady. She used to model. So what? She's beautiful. Good for her. Not going to knock her. I'm just saying the Obamas brought a lot to the White House, and they will be remembered by their supporters, okay? Most of his, if not all of his policies, will be undone in the first 100 days to 6 months. But he will be one day, I have confidence, I have hope, that one day he will be remembered as the great president he was. And we're going to miss him. I remember after he was elected, I was working in Yuma, Arizona, and there was a big billboard of this was February of 08, right, or 09, once he took office. And there was a billboard in Yuma of a picture of George W. Bush saying, "Miss me yet?" And I was like, "Nope." There will be a billboard of Barack Obama saying, "Miss me yet?" And again, the other side will say, "Nope," because it's all just flipped. So, okay, let's get into just how crazy this alt-right is. And make no mistake, the alt-right is a racist white movement, okay? Breitbart and the whole thing is ridiculous. But just to give you an idea of the level of their paranoia, okay? Sorry, phone was on. It's like I've forgotten how to do a podcast. Forgive me. So Andrew Bogut is an Australian basketball player who plays for the Dallas Mavericks. Now, Andrew Bogut hurt his knee in a basketball game, okay? December 5th, going for a rebound. Roy Hibbert, another basketball player, black guy, probably intentional. You know them black guys. it was one of those plays. Roy Hibbert rolled over his knee, hurt his knee. He was out of the game, had to take off a couple of weeks, right? No, that's not why Andrew Bogut didn't play for a couple of weeks. Here's the real reason. You see, Andrew Bogut took, this is amazing. This was on Reddit's thing called the Donald. I don't know. It's where they share one of their, some of their conspiracy theories. And I'm sorry for laughing, but this is what happened to Dallas Mavericks center Andrew Bogut. After he took to Twitter to help expose Pizzagate, he was sidelined for 11 games with a mysterious injury. And it said, upvote the NBA player's photo to get his status to hero because Bogut risked his career to help expose the truth. Okay, it got over 8,000 upvotes and I don't know how many retweets, et cetera, et cetera. So here's what really happened. First of all, he hurt his knee in a game, which you can just watch the play and see that he hurt his knee. And when he hurt his knee, they said that, you know, Andrew Bogut suffered a right knee injury. He'll be out for a couple of weeks. And then you know what happened? He was out for a couple of weeks. So that's the truth. That's what really happened. Now, Pizzagate, for those who don't remember, Pizzagate was this right-wing thing that claimed that Hillary Clinton was part of a global child sex ring based out of the basement of a Washington, D.C. pizza shop, which, by the way, has no basement. And it was one of these guys went there and shot some people, et cetera, et cetera. And I don't mean to dismiss the shooting. I'm dismissing how ridiculous Pizzagate was. So on November 24th, Bogut tweeted, "If only 1% of this Pizzagate scandal is true, all people involved deserve life in prison or worse." Okay, and then he deleted some of his tweets. They always do that. They always delete some tweets. So Bogut is right-wing guy. He's admittedly a right-wing guy. It's where his politics are, and good for him that he's freedom. He's allowed to do that. He listens to right-wing. I mean, he's appeared on right-wing podcasts. I don't care about that. That's his right. And he can do that, okay? And he ain't even American. Some bitch immigrant from Australia. Some bitch. They know that some bitch ain't American? Well, anyway, in Texas, some bitch in Dallas, Texas ain't even American. But I bet he got a gun, some bitch. This is how insane their conspiracy theories are. Why is that dangerous? Because they have a voice in the White House. Because these right-wing extremists, okay, I'm going to use that word, have been legitimized. And it's insane, but it's real. And here's another thing that's been legitimized. The theory of white genocide. Yeah, the theory that espoused by these white men that claim there is a genocide against white people. And they use this claim to justify violence targeting Muslims, Jews, Mexicans, black people, anyone who ain't white, because, you know, they're out there, they're losing. Now, okay, there was a Drexel professor, and I'm going over some things that have happened over the holidays, because I was shut down, okay? I was shut down, and George Ciccarello Maher, an associate professor at Drexel University, he posted a tweet saying, "All I want for Christmas is white genocide." Not the greatest thing to tweet, but he said it was a joke or whatever, or it was in bad taste. Needless to say, the white genocide movement came after him and so on. But here's the problem. The problem is that Drexel University, okay, didn't defend him. They condemned his remarks as utterly reprehensible and deeply disturbing. Now, here's the problem with that. White genocide isn't real. See, it's one thing, like if you tweeted, "All I wanted for Christmas is, you know, black people to be killed by cops or Muslims to be, you know, beaten up for existing," then you're talking about something that really happens. You're talking about violence that is perpetrated against people that and it actually exists. White genocide, and this goes back a long way, okay? So white genocide, okay, I'm going to just continue here. So this term, this white genocide, this is not something new. This goes back to when the slaves were first freed. Okay, now Joseph Lowndes, a professor of political science at University of Oregon, says that this is what he said. "The phrase and its broad dissemination these days is helping shape what Trumpism is politically, and also by its very framing is something that can authorize any kind of violence against people of color." He also said we should mock it, expose it, and delegitimize it. This goes back to fear of slave revolts. Okay, Thomas Jefferson described slavery as holding a wolf by the ears, and he claimed that once you let the wolf go, it will turn on you and devour you. Back during the Civil War, they said there's an impending genocide if slaves were liberated. Okay, after the Civil War, the racist outlook was captured in a 1916 book, The Passing of the Great Race, by Madison Grant, who was a friend of Theodore Roosevelt. And he said, you know, the same thing. The Pioneer Fund, started in 1937 by Wycliffe Draper. Boy, they had some names back then. He was a textile magnate, and he started the Pioneer Fund with the express purpose of pursuing race betterment by promoting the genes of people, quote, deemed to have descended predominantly from white persons who settled in the original 13 states prior to the adoption of the Constitution. Now, the Pioneer Fund has supported many Anglo-American race scientists and anti-immigration groups, such as the Federation for American Immigration Reform, or FAIR. And I give credit to them for how they do this. Okay, the acronym for the organization is FAIR. It's anything but. Federation for American Immigration Reform. It is attached to groups that the SPLC considers hate groups. Of course, Jeff Sessions, Trump's choice for Attorney General, regularly attends events hosted by FAIR. And Kansas Secretary of State Chris Kobach, a leader of Trump's transition team, has served as counsel to FAIR. Okay, so Jeff Sessions, the Attorney General, the legal counsel to a lawyer in Trump's transition team. These are guys who are part of an organization that has been described as a hate group. Okay, so there is no white genocide. There is no white genocide. White people are not being killed by people of color. White people are not being destroyed by people of color. It's ridiculous. And that leads to my next thing. And thank you for listening this long. And here it gets back to my title. It gets back to my belief in all of this. Who's paying attention? Now, if you haven't seen my special, if you haven't seen me talk about it, my point is that there is no media anymore. I know we all talk about the left-wing mainstream media and blah, blah, blah. There is none. There are no reporters who challenge people who lie. There are no reporters who are in it as the fourth estate, which was supposed to keep an eye on shit. Okay, the fourth is the media, the press was supposed to keep an eye on shit, and they were supposed to be out there on our behalf, on the people's behalf. They were supposed to be the one. Now, Edward R. Murrow, who goes back to the days when reporters were reported. Edward R. Murrow was a TV anchorman who got in the face of McCarthy and McCarthyism. You know, back in the day when McCarthy, and this is just like Trump, when McCarthy would make up statements and would put people on these communist watch lists and call them communist sympathizers, never any proof, never any truth, never just it all made up paranoid lies and bullshit. But McCarthy would do it, and no one challenged him until Edward R. Murrow. Edward R. Murrow wasn't afraid. Edward R. Murrow stood up to him, and this guy. And I'm sorry for the moment, but I'm looking for quotes. So anyway, this article comes from the Daily Beast, and the Daily Beast is left wing, no doubt about it. But what the writer in the Daily Beast, John Avlon, is saying is that in order for the media to be legitimate, if Trump does something right, they have to say he did it right. If he does something good, they have to say he did it good. It can't all be one-sided, okay? Even a conservative radio host, Charlie Sykes, said, "We basically eliminated any of the referees. We have spent 20 years demonizing the liberal mainstream media, but at a certain point, you realize you've destroyed the credibility of any credible outlet out there, because you can't just say something's bad." So like they demonize the liberal media to the point where all media is distrusted. So it kind of backfired on them. Okay. But this doesn't mean, okay. So anyway, let me continue. Okay. I'm sorry. I'm trying to go through this article and make it make sense. So journalists determined to hold Trump accountable must understand that offering nothing but reflexive criticism will reduce their credibility. Don't worry, we comics will handle the reflexive criticism. He says it, we'll criticize it. They're saying we need to give credit for policies the administration gets right so the criticisms carry weight. Okay, so that's what I was just saying. Now, here's the part that this is where Murrow stood up, where no one's standing up today. Yes, CNN, I'm talking to you. This does not mean surrendering our principles or indulging in the idiotic, on the one hand, on the other, drift toward moral relativism. In other words, you can't just say, well, they said it, so we have to match it, okay? When a McCarthy defender accused Murrow of bias and hypocrisy, Murrow coolly, I love that he's cool because he was cool. Murrow coolly replied, "If the weight of public testimony has tended to show that so far Senator McCarthy's charges are unproven, that is not my responsibility." Do you understand that? What he said was that if truth shows that McCarthy's full of shit, I'm not responsible. If truth shows that Trump's policies are wrong, that Trump's statements are not true, you don't have to justify them. You don't have to come up with this post-truth bullshit. You don't have to find someone to say Trump is right when it's not. Okay? When climate change is real and they just say, no, it's not, you don't have to give that any credibility. That was Murrow's point. Murrow's politics were based on old-fashioned notions of morality and honor, not ideology. Needless to say, Murrow was blacklisted for this by McCarthy, and there were a lot of McCarthy supporters who, you know, they called him a communist and blah, 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 okay? He did not back down. J. Edgar Hoover had the FBI investigating him. His son was subjected to slurs, blah, 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 you know. His wife, and how great is it when these fantastic men, when they say behind every great man is a great woman, it's absolutely true. So when asked about how things were holding up, Edward Murrow's wife simply said, "We were under worse in London." Boom, didn't back up. So here it is. So journalists who stood up to Trump were trolled forever, okay? Especially if they were center-right, if they were so-called Republicans. So you had the Arizona Republic, which did not endorse Donald Trump. Reporters received death threats and so on. There's an enemies list and blah, 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 blah. Now, here's the thing. Edward R. Murrow did not back down. This is his quote, and this should be just on the desk of every reporter, every so-called journalist, and I'm talking to CNN and MSNBC, I'm talking to Fox News, I'm talking about mainstream media outlets, okay? This is what Edward R. Murrow said, and it's beautiful. Quote, "We must not confuse dissent with disloyalty. We must remember always that accusation is not proof, and that conviction depends upon evidence and due process of law. We will not walk in fear one of another. We will not be driven by fear into an age of unreason. If we dig deep in our history and our doctrine and remember that we are not descended from fearful men, not from men who fear to write, to speak, to associate, and to defend causes which were for the moment unpopular." Do you understand what the man said, the press? We will not be driven by fear. This fear of Trump blacklisting you, this fear of, I don't know, being unpopular or whatever. He went after the truth. He was what Adam Carolla describes, and I love Adam's description, one of them old reporters that smoked cigarettes and blew smoke in your face while they were asking you questions. This, it's gone. It's gone. Yeah, I love Cenk and the Young Turks. I love being on the Young Turks. But the Young Turks is left wing, and it's somewhat biased. Now, but here's the thing. That calling things biased automatically because they're left wing is just as wrong as calling something wrong just because it's a Trump policy. If truth happens to fall on the side of the left, that doesn't mean it's not true. It doesn't mean it's biased. It's still truth. I don't know where the Edward R. Murrow is. There's some why am I forgetting Rachel's last name on MSNBC? But anyway, there's some there. Anderson Cooper could be it if he wasn't a model reading a teleprompter. Don Lemon isn't it. None of these so-called stars. Megyn Kelly, close. Close. And I know she's at Fox News, but there are times when Megan goes against the grain, and I love it. She maybe has her own voice. Greta Sustrin might have been it. Maybe that's why she quit. I don't know. But imagine an anchor, a reporter, not afraid of being unpopular. And imagine a news outlet backing that reporter because that reporter spoke the truth when they called out the fact that Jeff Sessions is part of something that is a hate group, when they called out that Breitbart and this whole white nationalist movement and this fear of white genocide is all bullshit and a cover for racism and so on. Imagine that. I can't. Wow. So I don't know if the Murrows, Edward R. Murrows of the world, are dead or if they just can't get a job. But I'm hoping they're out there. That's my hope for the next 4 years. So enough of that. I'm going to move on. That was my point. That was the point I wanted to lead up to in this podcast. My next question, we're shifting. You know I love sports. Ronda Rousey, done. Knocked out in 48 seconds. I know. How do you go from Edward R. Murrow to Ronda Rousey? Because if you watch the news, you go news, weather, and sports. And the weather is, it's cold. Got nothing. Ronda Rousey, done. Just plain and simple, done. Listen, Nunes, the woman she fought, you know what the purse was? Ronda Rousey got $3 million. Nunes got $100,000. You better believe she was going to whip Ronda Rousey's ass. You don't need more incentive than that. Okay, yeah, we're paying her 30 times what we're giving you. Oh, I'm whipping some ass, and she did. The Clippers, I love them. My team, if you never listened to my podcast before, you didn't know it, you know it now. The Clippers are my team. They may never win again. Don't know what's going on, but as a Clipper fan, it sure feels like 1987. They've lost six in a row and counting. Football, we're into the playoffs, the college football playoffs. The final game, championship game, will be Clemson versus Alabama. Good luck, Clemson. You're playing against an NBA team. Pro football, it looks like it's still looking like it's going to be New England meeting Dallas, but I don't know. We'll see. We'll see in time how it ends up. So that's that. Again, it's 2017. It's a new year. Be happy. Be happy. I'm saying this for me, not you. I don't know what you're going to be. I'm trying to tell myself, be happy. I'm still out there. I'm going to be doing my thing. I promise my set, my comedy will not be all about knocking Trump. Okay? I'm going to have to mention him. Like I said, it's a rule. Three or more people gather, you must mention him, so I'll do it. But I'm not devoting my whole podcast to it. I'm going to be in Atlanta this weekend at the Punchline. Phenomenal club. Listen, the holidays are over. The family's gone. Get out and do something for yourself. Come down to the Punchline and have a laugh. This is Alonzo Bowden asking who's paying attention and saying it's you. Thank you.